If you could you please turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. So, David, we all know about David. David was the man who defeated Goliath. He was the man who endured the persecution from Saul, and the Lord ended up elevating him to the position of the king of Israel. He was a great man. A lot of people, especially kids, you know, they want to be like David. He slew Goliath with a sling and a stone. He took down the giant. What a mighty man he had become. And there was one day where David got complacent. Complacency kills, as we say in the Marine Corps. And David, he forgot to apply some simple basics. Now, basics, that's what we're going to hit on today. The basics. I bring up the basics because when we don't apply the basics to our lives, the consequences can be devastating. Now, I want you to think about David. A lot of people don't realize the loss that David incurred. So, if you read the scripture, you read 2 Samuel, and you look at how much David actually lost after this incident with Bathsheba, he lost a lot of sons. Many of you have lost a child, and you've experienced that pain. Did you know that David lost 3 sons from this sin, this thing that he committed with Bathsheba? It led to the loss of the life of three of his sons. The baby that was born to Bathsheba, God had taken. His son Amnon was murdered by his brother Absalom, and then Absalom ended up being killed. So 3 sons due to this sin, and it all begins with the basics. David, by failing to apply the basics, he lost his reputation. He lost the kingdom for a time and everything in between. You want to read the whole story, go into the book of 2 Samuel, start to finish, and read that story of how much David lost. So the basics are very important to us. For many of you who have been in the military, you know, guys, I speak on it a lot. Before you go into the military, you go to a thing called basic training. Basic training. And they start with the most simple, minute things, and they hone on them, and they hone on them, and you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again. So that way, when you come into time of battle, it becomes this thing we call muscle memory. Muscle memory. And that's what we need to develop as Christians, is this muscle memory, spiritual muscle memory that we need to develop when we get into the battle, when Satan begins to attack. We need to have the basics so solid and so good that our muscle memory kicks in and we can defeat the enemy. Another analogy would be for some of you who are boxers or you're fighters, developing the perfect form and the perfect punch every time, and you can do it over and over again. It becomes muscle memory. Your punch, the way that you throw it, the balance of your legs and the things that you do, you can develop those basics. Your punch will hit hard every time. I thought it was interesting. Bruce Lee has a quote. He says, "I fear not the man who's practiced 10,000 different kicks once, but I do fear the man who's practiced one kick 10,000 times." So that's what we need to do. We need to learn how to practice those spiritual basics. Do them 10,000 times once the right way. So that way when the enemy comes knocking, we can throw that punch and defeat him. All right? So what basics did David fail to apply? When we look at this situation, what were the basics? So David was king of Israel. The law of Moses had already been implemented. So we know that he knew the law. He knew the law. Well, let's think about it. What are the basic commandments, right? Think about it. The Ten Commandments. Most people who aren't even Christians have heard of the Ten Commandments. Well, David, obviously he knew about them. So the basics: thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Two of the very, very simple basics that he just failed to apply, and it led to this loss of life, the loss of the kingdom, the separation of the kingdom, and it led to war. It had serious consequences, and today we're going to dive into how sexual sin and how it comes into our lives can devastate our lives, but it starts very small. Now, we're not going to go over the David and Bathsheba story. Pastor Skip already did that. But I wanted to talk about that to lead into this discussion. So today we're going to talk about wrongful sexual desire and how we can apply the basics of Scripture to defeat the world, the flesh, and the devil. Okay? So I've titled this message, Brilliance in the Basics. We can become brilliant. Let's become brilliant in the basics. And we're going to start with how it all starts with a look. We're going to talk about a pact we can make with God. We're going to talk about how this applies to married men. And we're going to talk about how this applies to single men. Now, I know in this room, there's single men, there's married men, there's young, there's old, there's divorced, there's new believers, there's seasoned believers, and there may be unbelievers here. And I'm going to try to hit on all of the wickets. And I warn you that you will be responsible with the knowledge that you're given today. You're going to be held responsible for what you know. And it's very serious stuff, but there's blessing that comes with obedience to God. So let's kick it. So Matthew chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 27. All right. Jesus, he's talking. He says, "You've heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.'" Again, the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. That's what he's talking about. You've heard it before. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 28, he says, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her in his heart has committed adultery." So Jesus Christ takes the action of committing adultery. He says, "Yeah, you've heard you shouldn't commit adultery, but I say to you that if you look at another woman and desire to lust after her in your heart, you've committed adultery with her." So this is a basic truth that sometimes we overlook. And as I was studying this, I was reading some commentaries from other people. And a lot of men try to wiggle around this verse. They try to, "Oh, well, you know, the Greek word means covet," and so on and so forth. So if you're a Bible student and you read this in the Greek, you can see that this word lust also means to covet. But if this is something that you're reading for the first time, you're thinking, "Well, it says lust. If I lust after a woman in my heart, I've committed adultery." And the basic truth behind what I'm trying to get at is it all starts with a look. It all starts with a look. So if we look at the situation with David, you know, David, one, he should have been out in battle, but two, he was on his palace. He was on the little deck there. I had the privilege of going to Israel, and I know Pastor Skip touched on it, but I want to kind of hone in on it a little bit more. From the position of David's palace, I've actually had the privilege of standing on it. You can see so much of the valley where there's homes, and you're at the highest point, and you can see down pretty much into every window. I mean, it's a pretty amazing sight to see. But for some of you maybe who are hunters or some of you have been in the military, and you know that you got to get to an elevated position so you can see the enemy. You can see what's going on. You have the position of advantage. Imagine you guys are out there, you know, maybe you're hunting and you get to a high point and you can glass everywhere and you can see everything. That's what it's like from David's position. He's out there. He sees Bathsheba, and it all starts with a look. And he desired her. He lusted after her. And he, you know, as the story goes, he pays the consequences. But in this scripture, I want to emphasize that Jesus is forbidding fixing one's desire upon a woman that's not one's rightfully owned. So if you're married, obviously, if you're going to be fixing your eyes on another woman, Christ is saying that that's adultery. And then, you know, for single guys, well, how does this look? Or, you know, I know God has given me a desire for women, you know, but it is that desire to look at another woman lustfully, right, as a single man. And I struggled with that question before. I did. I said, "Well, I'm not married. Am I really committing adultery?" And again, we try to wiggle our way around this verse. But it's that woman is not my own. That woman, if she's single, she's either married to another man or she belongs to her father, right? She's under the covering of her father. She belongs to her father. I'm committing adultery with her if I'm engaging in lustful looks. And you can take this and modernize this verse. And it all starts with a P word, pornography. This is the Trojan horse that has affected this community, this country, this world. We were throwing some statistics around this morning. 75% of men, that would be, you know, three-fourths of you in this room, struggle with pornography or engaging in pornography every week. So the basics of this truth is Christ is saying, if you have looked at a woman and desired her, you've lusted after her in your heart, you're committing adultery. So every time you turn on your phone or you're at your house or in front of your computer screen and you're engaging in pornography, Christ is saying you're committing adultery with her in your heart. And I know for some of you, this is a simple truth. You get it. Yeah, I got it. But for some of you, maybe you've never heard this. And there was a point in my life where I had never heard this. So I'm reiterating these basics to you. These basics. Adultery is sin. Sin, when sin comes, there's consequences for that sin. And in our lives, and many of you may have had to suffer the consequences of that. They eventually come. You won't be immune to them. But Pastor Skip, in his message, he brought up some real important subjects. He says, you know, men have a visual ignition switch. This is where the battle is won or lost. David first saw, then he beheld her. He went from seeing to beholding. It's the double take that loses the battle. The sin was the lingering look. So the question is, what do you do with what you see? Do you go from seeing to beholding, or do you go on, or do you avoid? So that's the question. That's where the battle is won or lost. So where does this apply personally to us every day? I drive up Academy here by the golf course, and every day, never fails, either coming to work or going home, and especially in the summer, there are women dressed, you know the way they're dressed, and they're running up and down that road. You guys face that every day. When you turn your TV on to watch a football game this weekend, there's going to be commercials with women dressed inappropriately. Every time you go to a movie, if you go to especially like the series with the superheroes, the Marvel series, I mean, man. It's like every movie you go to, every TV show you watch, every commercial, every time you drive out on the road, you're going to be bombarded with these images of women. And that's why Christ had, you know, 2,000 years ago had brought this subject up. If you look at a woman to lust after her, you committed adultery with her in your heart. So think about it. Every time you guys are engaging in something, you're going to be bombarded with it. And that's why I think we have such a major issue in the church with this struggle. So what are the tools that we can apply to defeat this? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that a prudent man foresees evil, I see it coming, and he hides himself. But the simple pass on and suffer the consequences. The prudent man foresees evil coming and he hides himself. The simple pass on and suffer for it. All right? So when you guys foresee something coming, and this is a tactic that you can ask yourself, can you apply? Every time I see a beautiful woman that would probably tempt me to be sexually attracted to her, lust after her in my heart, what do I do? Do I hide my eyes or do I pass on? Now, for some of you in this room, and I know that there are some, you may be thinking, well, dude, that's the way of the world. That's the way God created me. I'm supposed to be attracted to women. And I know you're thinking it because I used to think it. And you look at the standard of the Bible and you look at the standard of the world. So I want you to think, if that's your thought, if that's your thought process, saying, hey, you know, I see women all the time. They're beautiful. I'm going to look at them. God put a desire in my heart to look at them, so I'm going to look at them. Well, ask yourself, is that really what we read here in the Bible? Is that really the basic standard that the Bible sets? And none can deny that Christ is saying, no, you committed adultery with your heart if you lust after her. And that is the standard. That's the basic truth. And I just want to emphasize that because there, like I said, there was a point in time in my life where I didn't believe it. I was just like, well, you know, I'm going to look all I want. And I've sat at these tables before and I've heard men tell me that, you know, the Lord created him beautiful and I'm just going to look. And we're confronted here with the words of Christ. So what are the blessings of looking away? Say you're at a movie. Say you're with your wife. Say you're with your daughter, your son. What are the blessings of humbling yourself and looking away? Think about it. Think about also the cursings. I want to bring up a sore subject, but I'll be honest with you. When I was a young man, my father, he would take me to go see Duke's games. It was back in the days, it was the Dukes. And he would bring his binoculars with him. And he didn't use the binoculars to watch the game. But as a little boy, I really didn't know what was going on. But I knew kind of what he was doing because his eyes were always in the stands, not in the, on the field. And so as a little boy knowing and not really understanding the whole implication behind it, but even as a little boy, knowing that my father was looking at women to lust after him, knowing that, that he would make, you know, snarky comments when he was doing it, knowing that as a little boy made me feel just so crummy. It just made me feel disgusted. And I didn't know what I was feeling. I was maybe 5, 6, 7 years old. I couldn't understand it, but I could understand the emotion I was feeling. And many of you who have seen your father either engage in the act of adultery, or you knew that your father was engaging in the act of adultery, imagine how that made you feel. Think if you can recall that emotion when you found out either your father or your mother was doing that, either checking somebody out, flirting with them, or actually engaging in that. So you as men, you are an example to your children. Those are the consequences of what you do every time you pick up your phone and maybe your son sees what you're doing. Or if you get caught behind the computer or you're up late at night watching something, your children will eventually know. God says that He will expose it. He will expose it. So think about the consequences of every time that comes up. But also, I want to encourage you on the flip side of the coin. What are the blessings behind averting your eyes? What are the blessings behind turning away? The prudent man sees evil for coming, and he hides himself. Doesn't mean you need to go run in a closet, but hey, turn your back. I mentioned it last week. I stand in this east foyer every Sunday, every Saturday night, and especially in the summer months, a lot of women come in here inappropriately dressed. It's just the way of the world. It is the way of the world. So a lot of times you'll just see me. Just do this. There's really nothing wrong with it. I have to humble myself, but the blessing that comes with it, I just want to let you know, your wife will notice. You think that she may not notice, she notices. She notices when your eyes do this, when another woman walks by, she notices if you look away, she notices, gentlemen. Your children notice. God notices it. If you are willing to humble yourselves and do those things, there comes a blessing. Your wife will trust you. I know that there's a lot of men in here right now that struggle with their wives not trusting them. You have arguments when you go out to the grocery store, or you go somewhere, and your wife is questioning you, what you're doing, where you're going. I know that there's men in here. The more you practice the basics of averting your eyes, the more you practice the basics of foreseeing evil and hiding your eyes, the more blessed your marriage can be. And for young men, for those single men, there's a blessing that comes with that. God will honor your obedience, and He will bring you a godly wife who you can enjoy marriage with, who you can share in those blessings. But I was one of them. I actually had a woman tell me, you know, you got wandering eyes. They notice. I was single for a very long time, and I had to get through those things, but they notice, gentlemen, they notice. So if you want your life to be blessed, single men here, young men, you're desiring to find a wife, you're desiring to find a godly woman, learn to practice this simple, basic truth. Brilliance in the basics and looking away. And that comes in a form of, hey, I'm at the movies, I'll just throw some stuff out. At the movies, something comes on, hey, I just look down at my popcorn, and me and my wife have an agreement. She'll tell me when to look up. Now some of you say, man, you're a sellout. Yeah, look at you. But I counteract that with the simple truth of the Bible that he who humbles himself, God will exalt. And if you are willing to humble yourself before God, God will exalt you. If you're willing to humble yourself and do those things, God will exalt you. The world will tell you that that is weak. The world will tell you that you are weak sauce. The world will tell you that you're whipped, but holiness God honors. And I want today to draw that line in the sand. Many of you, maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you've come in here and you don't have a relationship with the Lord. This may be your first time at church, and I'm telling you this stuff, and it sounds like a Chinese to you. It sounds like a foreign language to you. I want to make sure that it sets in that there is a standard that the Bible has for holiness, and there is a standard that the world has for evil. And that is the dividing line. It's in Scripture. So now I want to go into our next point called, I want to encourage you guys to make a pact. So will you turn in your Bibles to the book of Job? It's in the Old Testament. And it's right around the corner from the Psalms. Just one book back. Now, I want to be careful for some of you serious Bible students. we don't want to take a portion of Scripture and leave it out of context. There's a lot going on in the book of Job, so I'll just give you background. Job, he's basically the devil makes a bet against Job, and God says, well, I'm going to show you, and Job goes through these trials where he's afflicted with sores, and his children are killed, and so on and so forth. And many of you know the story, but he's talking about righteousness and how he believes he's been righteous and why has God afflicted me. But there's a simple truth that he says. It's Job 31, and it's in verse 1. And he says, I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look at a young woman lustfully. And I think it's even there on your announcements. That's the New International Version. So Job, he gives a simple basic truth, and I think it's worth looking at. He's saying, I've made an agreement, a covenant. If you guys have never heard that word, a covenant is like a contract. He says, I've made a contract. I've written out a contract with my eyes that I'm not going to look at a young woman lustfully. And I find it interesting he had put a young woman. You know, it's just the way of the world. Young women. That's what you see out there. But he made a contract with his eyes. I've made a contract not to look at a young woman lustfully. So when we do marriage counselings for young men coming in, we know that one day they're going to get bombarded and they're going to be, you know, perhaps attracted to another woman, and they're going to have to face that battle where they're going to stay faithful to their wife. But I always recommend to those young couples, and I look at the man and I say, have you ever considered in your vows to making a vow, making a prayer to the Lord? Say, Lord, make my desire for no other woman but my wife. Lord, make my desire for no other woman but her, and Lord, make her desire for no other man but me. And we trust and we know that we serve a supernatural God, and that God can change our hearts. So with that prayer, I always encourage the men, we want you to remain faithful to your wife. Say that prayer. Say it to your wife. Lord, I'm asking you, make my desire for no other woman but her, and make her desire for no other man but me. And serving a supernatural God, knowing that he honors marital faithfulness, knowing that he honors the marriage above all things, is what it says in the Scripture, that God will honor that if we do our part. So I always talk about this thing when young couples come in, but it's a covenant. One of the things that we do when, say, we sign a mortgage or we go into a rental agreement with your car, I mean, we sign covenants all the time. And if you think about it, you know, if you break that covenant, say you sign a mortgage, you sign your name and you agree you're going to be paying this much at the end of the month. You sign your name and it's official. If you fail, you suffer the consequences. There are consequences to be paid according to that contract. How much more should we do that with our eyes when it comes to being faithful in marriage? How much more should we sign a contract? Lord, I sign a contract not to look at a young woman lustfully. One of the ways that the Lord helped me to be delivered from alcohol. I shared with you guys many times that I was an alcoholic. But one of the ways that I was able to overcome that was I had the opportunity when I began to serve. They gave us a contract to sign. It says, you know, if you're going to be serving at school ministry or, you know, any ministry, you can't be engaging in drunkenness. And so I signed my name on that dotted line. And I didn't want to be a covenant breaker, but that covenant still stands. And most men in here, I would say, want to be a man of their word, correct? So that contract, I still have signed on my heart. I signed a contract. And even now in ministry, you know, I've made a vow never to have another drink for the rest of my life. And I signed my name, not only on my heart, but on paper. And so maybe a practical step for some of you who struggle with, you know, pornography, who struggle with marital unfaithfulness, write out a contract. Write it down on paper. I know it's kind of a mind trick, But maybe in here there's one man who it'll work for. Maybe in here there's one man who will be delivered from this sin by doing that. I don't know. I'm throwing it out there. But here we have Job. He says it. So, focusing on that thing of pornography, I don't want to take too much time on it. But as I was doing the study for this this lesson, I was going through a lot of videos about the effects of pornography. And I just want to hone in on one consequence that pornography causes, and that science shows that within minutes of watching pornography, the brain undergoes a neurochemical change. And basically, in layman's terms, it's pretty much rewiring your brain that is not really the way that God designed it to be wired. So those images that you see when you watch pornography begin to be locked in your brain. It's like getting a brand, if you will. Some of you who are cattle ranchers, you can get a brand, and you brand that cattle, and it's there for the rest of their lives. That's what pornography does to your brain. It gets a brand, and it sears it, and it's there. Even after you're saved, and even after you've even been freed, it'll still be there. It will still be there. It'll show up in your dreams. It'll show up in your thoughts. It'll show up when you see another woman, and it sears. And so I want to encourage you, gentlemen, if you're struggling with pornography, stop the bleeding. Stop the branding. It will have physical effects. I've been in counselings with men who do struggle with pornography, and it's gone to a very serious level. But it's gone to the point where their chemicals in their brains have been so altered that they have trouble breathing. They have trouble sleeping. Their appetite is altered. So their physical bodies, the way that they operate, have been so affected by this pornography that they physically can't operate anymore. They're short of breath, and they don't know why. They can't sleep, and they don't know why. And it's this release of all these chemicals in this cocktail that God never designed for your brain to endure. It's like taking drugs. So I just wanted to cover just a little bit about that and maybe encourage you that if you're not looking at pornography, don't ever do it. But if you are, and statistics say that 3 out of 4 men in this room do, you will suffer the consequences. And I just want to encourage you, apply the simple basics of keeping a covenant with God, not to look at a young woman lustfully. Write that covenant down on your heart. Do it for the Lord. Do it for your wife. Do it for your children. You have a choice. So, you know, with all this doom and gloom about sexual sin, I do want to encourage you with what the Bible does say is allowed. So, the Bible says that, you know, he said to Adam and Eve when he first created them, be fruitful and multiply, right? Hey, thy will be done. So, God has created sex. He's allowed us to engage in this pleasure that he designed. So, I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs now. Chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5 is just up the street from the book of Job, just 2 books to the right. And this is the blessing that marriage can be. This is the blessing that marriage can be. So there's a couple of verses in here. We won't touch too much on them, but I just want to encourage you guys and show you what a blessing it is. It says, so background information on this, it's poetic and Solomon, in his language, he doesn't use the actual words, but he uses metaphors. And so it may get a little graphic, but I'll kind of unpack this verse. And we'll take it from the metaphor to the real. All right? So Proverbs chapter 5, starting in verse 15. So Solomon's speaking here on sex. And he says in verse 15, he says, drink water from your own cistern. So that's metaphor for saying, have sex with your wife, your own cistern. You can look at your cistern as your wife and running water from your own well. That's your wife. Verse 16 says, should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? So your fountains would be, if you want to get graphic with it, your fountains would be your semen. So Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, Johnny Appleseed everywhere? He says, no, verse 17, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you, not for the strange woman. He says, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. God is saying, rejoice with your wife as a loving deer and a graceful doe. I don't know how your wife would take you calling her a deer, but hey, a graceful doe. You know, it's a metaphor. Here's the kicker. Let her breasts satisfy you at all times. It's like, wow, the Lord is kind of graphic there, but there's some truth to that. God has created us with a visual fixation for, it's funny, for this body part. God created it. And here he talks about it. Let her breasts satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and embraced in the arms of a seductress? And then the kicker, it says, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. So here's God saying, in marriage, sex can be blessed. You can have a wonderful sex life with your wife. Rejoice with the wife of your youth. Rejoice with the wife of your youth. Be enraptured with her love always. Here's a model. And for those of you that are married, and maybe the spark in your life or in your sex life has gone out, here's encouragement from the Word of God. Be enraptured with your wife. A loving deer, a graceful doe. And I read this verse to my wife all the time. I said, babe, isn't this awesome? Isn't this awesome? Marriage can be blessed. Marriage can be blessing. You can have what God says you can have. You can have a blessed sex life. And I just want to encourage you. And I think that's one of my favorite verses in Scripture. But God created you to have this desire. It's not sinful to desire sex. It's not. God, you know, he said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. So God wants the earth to be populated by man. So he created these body parts that we have. He created a sexual drive. And these drives are to be fulfilled only in the bonds of marriage. You can search the Scriptures and you'll find that sex is only allowed within the confines of marriage. And I'm wanting to speak to single men on this subject, in that there was a point in time where I had a couple friends tell me, hey, you know, sex before marriage is sin. I said, no, it isn't. I didn't know. I didn't read the Scriptures. I didn't have any knowledge. At that point, I wasn't saved. But there was a point where I was that ignorant. I said, I never heard that. Don't know that. I'm doing my thing. And then I was confronted with Scripture. And we'll get into it. But single men, if you desire, you have that desire, maybe that sexual drive that God created you with, it's only allowed in the confines of marriage. And we'll cover some of that Scripture later. But for those that maybe, there may be somebody in this room that's never heard that. And I'm just speaking what the truth of the Bible says. So if you move sex outside of the confines of marriage, if you move sex outside of what God created it for, it becomes sinful. And all of the things that come with it will stick to you. Again, we look at the life of David. All of the things that come with adultery stuck to David. All of the things that came with that sexual sin stuck to David. He lost his three sons. He lost the kingdom for a time. There was war. People lost their lives. He was embarrassed. There's so many consequences that he had to suffer because he didn't apply the brilliance and the basics with looking away. So that's speaking on the side of marriage. Men, you can have a wonderful sex life with your wife. Now I want to talk to the single men. So single men, turn to Hebrews. This is the last one we're going to cover. Hebrews chapter 13. All the way back in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 13. So here it says, we're going to read one verse, and it's verse 4. It says, marriage is honorable among all. and the bed is undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So I told you we'd have supporting scripture about sex outside of marriage is wrong. There it is, right there. Fornicators and adulterers God will judge. If you've never heard that word, fornication, that is the definition for sex outside of marriage. So I want to give you an example of my life when I was single. I gave my life to the Lord. I was 22 years old when I had given my life to the Lord. And one of those sins that I had to deal with and I had to get rid of was that when I read this, okay, fornication is sin. God's going to judge the fornicators. In another portion of scripture in 1 Corinthians, I believe it says that fornicators will have no place in the kingdom of God. So, okay, got it, Lord. I gotta get rid of this. So I'm gonna go about doing it. So I'm a single man, and I abstain from sex, and I had to do it for 11 years. 11 years. Now, I'm speaking to you honestly. It was difficult because God did create this drive in me to want to have sex, but outside of marriage, it was sin. So there may be a lot of men in here who are single. You're single, you're not married, you want to walk the Christian walk. Sex outside of marriage is sin. So what do you do? What do you do? And I know that there's many men in here that will, again, we try to wiggle around what Christ says. They say, well, okay, I'm not going to have sex with another woman. And that leads to masturbation. That leads to the pornography. That leads to, well, I'm not sinning. It's not with another woman, so I'm free to masturbate. And again, we go back to the basics of Scripture. What does Jesus say? If you look at another woman to lust after her, lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. It's sin. So, yes, the answer is yes. When you go home to masturbate to whatever it is, it's sin. We got to divide the line. And again, this may sound like foreign Chinese to some of you, but I'm confronting the basic truths of Scripture. It is sin. If you are married and you're engaging in this, it's sin. It's adultery. It's adultery. And the Bible divides the line between worldly behavior, worldly sex, and biblical sex. We saw the blessing just in the previous verses in Proverbs chapter 5 of what sex in marriage can be and what it can't be. So we want to be brilliant in the basics for you single men. I'm going to give you some history behind my wife. So I had made this decision. I would say, okay, Lord, I'm going to remain single. I'm going to abstain from fornication. And I waited 11 years for my wife. But she had told me, and I was at this time, I was like, Lord, please bring me a godly wife. Please bring me the person that you want. And I had just been praying that years and years and years. And I eventually, you know, sometimes you'd find a woman who, hey, well, okay, we can try to date, you know, she's a Christian woman. Let's see where this goes. And every single time for 11 years, the relationship wouldn't last more than a week. The doors would slam shut in my face. I'm not joking. This was the truth. I was single for a very long time, and I was beginning to think, is there something wrong with me? Why can't I get a date? Lord, why can't I meet anybody? What's wrong with me? This drive is burning like crazy. And the Bible says, you know, you should marry if you burn with passion. Paul had said that, you know. So, Lord, I want to get married. But I had later come to find out that my wife, before she even knew me, for those years, she was also single and she was dating, but it didn't work out. But she had been praying. She said, Lord, for the man who you have destined to be my husband, I want you to slam the door on every woman and every relationship that comes across his path. Every woman he tries to get with, I want you to slam the door shut in his face. And when I had met Tamara, my wife, I looked at her and I said, you. It was you. And it goes to show you the power of prayer. And it goes to show you that God is faithful when you are obedient to his calling. The Bible calls us to be long-suffering. So my wife does tell me sometimes, she said, baby, don't tell them you were single for 11 years. Then they think they got to be single for 11 years and so on and so forth. Then you're going to just discourage them. And I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just trying to emphasize the blessing that came from waiting on the Lord, for praying for a godly woman, for being obedient to abstain from sex before marriage. And it came in the form of a wonderful wife. But also speaking to single men, there is a kicker. And if your desire is just to get married, if your desire is so strong sexually, hey, I just want to have a wife. Lord, just give me a wife as soon as you can. We got to go back to the basics of Scripture again. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So I counsel young men. I said, you know, I understand you're trying to live a godly life. You're single. You want to get married. But don't let that be your focus. Stop. Don't let that be your focus. Begin to work on you. Begin to work on the man of God that God wants you to be. Begin to pour into Scripture. Begin to rough out all the other edges. Don't focus just on, I need to get married, I need to get married, I need to find a woman. Focus on the kingdom of God, His righteousness. And if you focus and you continue to move this way, God says all these other things will be added unto you. And I'm living proof. And I'm not saying you're going to, if you're single, you're a young man in here, maybe you're in high school or in college and you're looking for a while, I'm not saying you're going to be single for 11 years. The Lord, I'm hard-headed. The Lord had to take 11 years to clean me out of all the gunk I had. And now as I look back on my life, I say, man, Lord, thank you for not bringing Tamara into my life in my early 20s, because I was a knucklehead and I would have screwed up my marriage if I was going to try to marry her then. Thank you, Lord, for taking the time to clean me out all those years. If I look back on it, I wouldn't change it. I wasn't ready to be married. I wasn't ready. I had to work on seeking first the kingdom of God. I had to work on getting rid of some of those life-dominating sins in my life before I was ready to be married and lead my wife. And so, single men, be encouraged. You seek first the kingdom of God. God will honor your obedience. God will bring you a blessing. There's women out there who are praying for a godly man. There's women out there, unfortunately, that are praying that you're going to stay single and every door in your face is going to get slammed shut before you meet her. It's just the way it is. But praise God for it. So, I want to say, praise God. I want to say that holiness is attainable. Holiness is attainable. It's not unattainable. If you think that there's no way you can get out of pornography, if you think there's no way you can stop from gazing at women when you go to the mall or drive down the road, Scripture tells you that you're wrong. You're wrong. Let's divide the line. Holiness is attainable. However, you cannot do it on your own. The Bible says that if you ask in my name, if you ask in the name of Jesus Christ for the Holy Spirit, that God will give you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is something that we receive when we become born again. And the Holy Spirit will enable you to avert your eyes. The Holy Spirit will enable you to look away. The Holy Spirit will enable you to remain holy before marriage. You will not be able to do it on your own. But God says it's a promise. If you ask Him for the Holy Spirit, He will give it to you. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the Holy Spirit will enable you to remain holy. It is attainable. It does bring blessing. However, you have a choice. God is a gentleman. You have a choice. After you leave here, you have a choice to pull out your phone and look and disregard everything that we've talked about today. You can do that. God's not going to strike you down with a lightning bolt. But know this. You will suffer the consequences. If I was to take my Bible and to drop it, the law of gravity says that the Bible is going to drop to the floor, right? Every time. 100 times out of 100 times, I can take this Bible, and if I let it go, the law of gravity is going to cause it to drop to the floor. That's the law of gravity. Well, the law of God says that when we sin, we will suffer the consequences. 100 times out of 100 times. God says He does not hold the guilty unpunished. He punishes the guilty. It's just the way it is. If you're saved, yes, your sins are paid for at the cross. However, there's still consequences for sins that we commit. And if you choose, you have a choice, if you choose to walk out of here and get back on the track that you were on, you have a choice. You will suffer the consequences. And in David's case, he suffered the consequences of the loss of his family. He suffered the consequences of the embarrassment, the loss of the kingdom, and so on and so forth. He suffered the consequences. Yes, the Lord forgave him. Yes, the Lord still called him a man after God's own heart. But he suffered the consequences. Do you, gentlemen, want to suffer those consequences? Do you want to continue to suffer those consequences? God says you don't have to. You have a choice. And it all points to the cross. Jesus Christ says, I came that they might have life and have life more abundantly. You can have an abundant life. You can have a blessed marriage. But it comes with obedience. And it comes with seeking first the kingdom of God. Think about your marriage. And single men, if you desire to be married, think about what marriage could be. Don't you want it to be so blessed? Don't you want to go home and enjoy being with your wife? Don't you want to have an exciting sex life with your wife? Don't you want to be happy and spend time with your wife? God says you can have that. God says you can have that. It is possible to obtain. However, again, we draw that line between what the Bible says you can have when you're obedient to its standards or the consequences of your sin when you obey the world's standards. You have a choice. I plead with you, gentlemen. Again, statistics say 70, there's 3/4 of you, statistics say, struggle with pornography. I encourage you and I want to edify you and I just want to help you write a covenant down with your eyes to God. Be a man of your word and say, Lord, from this day forward, I will not look at pornography. I will not look at another woman with lust. I want to be honorable to my wife. I want to have that blessed life like it is in chapter 5 of Proverbs. I want that. Write down that covenant. Young men, write down that covenant that you're going to be pure before marriage. And you can have a blessed marriage. So I just want to encourage you. And for some of you today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't know His forgiveness, you can have that today as well. For some reason, me standing up here and talking about this makes you feel disgusted with yourself and makes you feel sinful and makes you feel worthless. God says that He died on the cross for your sins. He paid the price for every time you looked at pornography, for every time you lusted after a woman. He paid the price for those sins and He wants to forgive you of those sins. He says, all you have to do is trust in me. Repent. And believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Believe that He came down 2,000 years ago and paid for those sins. And trust in me. Make me the Lord of your life and He will forgive you. He will give you a clean slate. He will wipe the slate away as if He doesn't remember one sin that you've ever committed. And He sees you as pure and holy. And that's what Christ did to you. So if you don't know Christ, there's leaders at your table who can tell you about forgiveness. And He can tell you about that. If you're a man struggling with pornography, we're about to kick into some discussion. I went a little bit over. I apologize. But be vulnerable with each other, gentlemen. You're never going to get through these problems if you don't talk about it. If you never humble yourself to expose these areas in your life and you don't want to get better, then you'll be in the same muddy pool for the rest of your life. And I know that you don't want that. You don't want to suffer those consequences and continue to suffer. So, gentlemen, I love you all. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad we were able to talk about the subject. We're going to kick into discussion. There's a leader at each one of your tables. I pray that we have enough copies of the discussion sheets. Is there any table that doesn't have the questions? Good. All right. Well, before we kick it, let me pray for you, and then we'll you guys can take bathroom breaks. And I know your bladders are hurting right now. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the basic truth of Scripture. We thank you, Lord, for showing us the difference between the world and the difference between righteousness, the kingdom of God, Lord. We desire for every man in here, Lord, to be able to leave sin behind, Lord, that you would give them the Holy Spirit to empower them to stop, Lord. This is the Trojan horse that the devil has used in this church, Lord, through pornography and through sexual sin, Lord. And we ask, Lord, and we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would help any man here that struggles with it, Lord, that you would help them to rid it from their lives, Lord, that you would help them to have a blessed marriage, that you would help that single man to find a godly wife, Lord, and help him through being single and struggling with the desires that you gave him, Lord. And we just pray for the discussions, Lord, and we pray that there would be compassion. We pray that there would be vulnerability, Lord, but that there would be no man in here that would feel ostracized or judged, Lord, for we are all sinners, Lord, but you came to forgive us, Lord. And I pray if there's any man that doesn't know you, that he would have the opportunity to to ask for you into his heart, Lord, and he would receive your forgiveness. So I invite you, Lord, I ask you to come into this room and fill each heart, each soul, each individual who you came to die for, Lord, and let our discussion be blessed, Lord. So we give you this time, we thank you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.